There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, yeah, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. The phone and text line, 343-0106. 343-0106. Not a bad number to put in your contacts there. It may not be today. It may be some other day, some other show with so many shows, live radio every day from right here at home. You may want to comment. So put that in your contacts. FM Talk 106.5, phone number, 343-0106. And if y'all aren't from around here, that's 251-343-0106. All right. By the way, too, I have not seen anybody take me up on my, I thought, which was a brilliant idea last week, one of my many brilliant ideas, for a magnetic holster for the outside of a vehicle so you can open carry that handgun. It's just like an Uncle Mike's holster or something like that that would, even somebody said, well, what about aluminum vehicles? Well, yeah, then I got a JB Weld kit, too, that puts it on there. All right, I would read some of these texts, and then I want to get your calls as well so we can continue this discussion. You know, let's see. Let's go to the... like Robert says, when only the police have guns, who polices the police? All right, Robert, that is it's bumper sticker stuff, right? That's bumper sticker slogans. Let's talk about it more in depth. Right, I mean, it's. I know a lot of social media and stuff is like where you go put some line, you cut and paste from somewhere else. Not saying you did, Robert, but it's like, bah! And then you go, ah, I gotcha. Let's talk about it. So when only the police have guns, who polices the police? What about this? Robert, help me. What about this discussion? And I can argue this both ways. I know both of these men well. I have respect for their work in law enforcement. I'm a Second Amendment advocate, to say the least, right? That's kind of, if you want to typecast me in the talk radio universe of Alabama, that's my, they call me from other shows when they want to talk Second Amendment. But Robert, how is this specific discussion on concealed carry keeping only police with guns? I don't know that part. Because remember, here's what is it question. Is specifically concealing in your vehicle or on your person. You can still, there's nothing about this that says you can't have every weapon you want in your home that you can legally purchase, right? You can have those. All the long guns, you know, rifles, shotguns, you leave them on the back seat of the truck there and ride down the road. You're just fine. You can also transport that pistol if you have it not accessible, right? So that's where the difference is. Or if you're outside your vehicle and everywhere else, you can open carry in the state of Alabama. That is the law. So I get you're upset with this, but I don't think this is the next step to only the police having guns. Because, Robert, I'd stand right with you if I thought that was going to happen. Randall says, Sean, I would pay $100 per year. I love my permit. Randall, you can say that, but it would only be a act of the out of Montgomery that would make it $100. So I don't want to spend more on it, but it's not in, these are just facts I'm trying to get in. It doesn't mean you have to agree or disagree with this, but let's deal with it factually. The sheriff doesn't make up the amount, right? And doesn't decide. He gets into the position of being sheriff. That is a legacy done by the local delegation through Montgomery. They had to pass that legislation in Montgomery to set the fee and set that we had concealed carry. So it's the sheriff is doing the thing that was there before him. Unnamed texter, so I can't legally open carry on my person loaded inside my vehicle. Correct. Not legally. No, you cannot. Sly says, question for the sheriff. I'm a lifelong CCP holder, but I can't. This is voice to text. I'm getting a general. Is existence of the permit affect the safety of your officers in any way? It doesn't affect the safety of the general public in any way. What I've heard, and I think you'll probably hear more of these discussions going forward, is it gives. Okay, this thing I talked about last week. You law enforcement walks up to a vehicle, and in that vehicle you got two people. One's a convicted felon; they can't have a gun. The other person's not. So if the convicted felon, who in this case, in this scenario I'm laying out, they've got the gun. They're not supposed to have a gun, but they got the gun. They give it to whomever. I'm sitting there. They say, Sullivan, take the gun. Well, I would say no. But like another alternate world version of me would say, okay, here, I'll take it. Well, then they're going to be able to take that gun because I don't have a concealed carry permit in that alternate world. They take that gun and then they have the fingerprints on that gun from the convicted felon. Now they can make a case. All that. So that's how is it primary safety? I don't know. You ask a good question there. So is it a primary safety issue? No, but probably a secondary in that. Okay, Ben says, the only thing I'm seeing on social media from people that are butthurt is that Sheriff Cochran just wants the money. If that's the only argument you have, then you're small-minded and just don't get it. Once again, the sheriff does not make the decision. You can still not like this. Like, you can believe in, that's a refreshing thing. If somebody believes in constitutional carry but says, but honestly, the sheriff doesn't decide the amount, then that's a fair-minded discussion. I'm just wanting to make sure we, because they're, like, Ben, you're right. You look at social media, you look at the text lines here and all that. There's a lot of, like, it's not even half-truths. It's just people who don't know the whole backstory. You have an emotional reaction, and I get it. And I know Ben, by the way, who I'm reading this text. He and I are both, I would manage to say, fairly engaged in the enjoyment of our Second Amendment rights. Know the facts. And then you can disagree, but make sure you know the facts. Ken says, sounds like Shane, I guess referring to Representative Stringer, went to Montgomery and changed as politicians seem to do in Montgomery. That's a question. I mean, if he, you heard the sheriff say that Representative Stringer, who will be on with Jeff tomorrow, and then I might have him on later in the week as well, because like I said, I know both these men. Both these men have been friends of the station, have been in here quite a bit, so I want to get, all sides of this. And like I said, Jeff has Representative Stringer on tomorrow, and I got to check the time, and if Dalton or Leanna, if he's already posted that, let me know. Jeff, if you're listening, send me a text on my phone. That he had voted 3 years ago against constitutional carry. That he had spoken out against constitutional carry before being elected, voted against it, I think, in his first year is what I'm being told. And then, I don't know last year if it was just a push or it didn't come out. And then this year, he's carrying the bill, which is 180 from where he was. And so, Ken, I mean, the sheriff was saying that it was special interest in Montgomery. It may just be vocal constituents, too, that say, hey, you're not going to get elected unless this is what we want. That's always a tough thing, right? In our representative republic, there's no way to know what everybody wants. You know what the people that get in your ear want. I mean, that's just the truth of it. All right. Unnamed texter, but if that's a big complaint he's running into, personally, I'm for it. I'm ex-Army, and some of the people I served with should have had one first. Laugh out loud. I don't know. So Matthew's asking this question. Matthew, we talked about this some last week. So Matthew says, doesn't Representative Shane Stringer also get a salary and benefits from the Alabama legislature? Okay, so that's the double dipping thing people had come up with last week. Representative Stringer was not in violation of double dipping. You have to be in a position where your vote in Montgomery can benefit you, put money in your pocket, right, or improve your job. And unless you're head of the group, unless you're the sheriff, if you're part of advisory staff or that, you don't fall under the double dipping. So that question, we talked about last week. So Matthew, good question, but he was not in violation of it even before being removed from the sheriff's department. So the Mariner says here, you have helped the sheriff's public image greatly over the years by having him come on your shows, and now he's screwing it up for sure. I don't know. I'm seeing from people here that are saying they support this move by the sheriff. So there's a difference of opinion. There's also Jason says, what if you put your pistol on the dash while you're driving? You know what happens, Jason? It slides the whole way over there to the side where you couldn't get it, and it's going to nick your window. Phil asked, is Shane, meaning Shane Stringer, planning on running for sheriff next cycle? Everyone has an angle. That's part of life. All right, I think we answered. There's a bunch of questions about the lifetime permit that's still sitting up there on Sunny Die Day. All right, so this is Michael says, thanks to Sheriff Cochran. If for nothing else, the card, and he's talking about concealed carry permit, is a great icebreaker for easily showing officers that you may be carrying and are licensed to if you ever happen to be pulled over. You know, Michael, Robert Kennedy and I were having this conversation off air last week, talking about it, when he was on the show, I think on Friday with me. And he and I both have had that situation where, like, one time I remember specifically, so it was a roadblock there in Chickasaw. So I got off and got onto Wesley Street there in Chickasaw. And it was, you know, license, registration, all the insurance is right when we started having mandatory insurance or doing insurance check. And I remember saying to the officer two things. I pulled out my ID and then I had my concealed carry permit. And I said, okay, I'm going to get you my registration, but I'm fixing to open this glove compartment over here. In this glove compartment, there's a handgun you're going to be able to see. And at that point, the officer, it was like, I appreciate that. I'm going to still have you get that, but he like changed it where you're standing and all that. But I told him, I'm scared of having an officer see a gun all of a sudden and not have. So I told him that. I showed him the concealed carry permit. I opened the glove compartment. There was I probably don't have guns, but if I did, there might have been a 9 in there or a 40 or probably wasn't the 380. Probably was a 9 that was sitting in there in the glove compartment, if I would have one. And he could see it plainly as I grabbed the little, you know, the booklet thing you get with your truck where you stash all your insurance information. You put it in the little folder thing, your truck folder thing. So I pulled it out and did that. But I absolutely walked through the process of that. And so I'm following you, Michael. All right, Matt says, has there ever been a modern rendition of the Hatfields versus McCoys? Well, this will be it. I've supported both Sheriff Cochran and Representative Stringer, and y'all are putting us in a tough spot here. Matt, I second a lot what you're saying. Like I said, I know both of these men. I respect their work in law enforcement. I'm interested because this is a nuance. I'd say it's nuanced in the fact that it's not some big liberal group and some big conservative group clashing on this. These are both Alabama law enforcement folks that have good heads on their shoulders, and they're disagreeing here, and we're going to see where it goes. Can you open carry an RPG? I'd love to see the liberal folks at Target deal with that one. I guess if you could have the RPG, but I don't think, you know, I don't know about that. I don't think so. And I don't know where, even with a tax stamp that would give you the ability to have, you know, SBRs, short barrel rifle, or fully auto, or even a suppressor. Even with your tax stamp, I don't think RPGs are available. But it'd be interesting if you've got one and you got enough land for us to go shoot it. Unnamed texture, I'm in. I'd love to see. Like if somebody said, "Hey, Sean, this weekend we're going to shoot an RPG out in the hayfield," and it was legal, I think I'm in. All right, is there any limit? This last one here before we go to break. Any limit on alcohol level for a person to open carry or concealed carry? So on concealed carry, there is, if you cannot, and I don't know if it's a limit. I think it says no alcohol to do that. I don't know how that applies for open carry. I'd have to study that one. I don't have an answer right yet on that. Coming right back, we'll talk more about that right here on Midday Mobile. Grab your calls too, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just saw their truck over the weekend pretty close to my house. I was thinking about, like, hollering at them when they came by. And I always talk about 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Getting rid of junk at your home, your office, storage unit, anywhere you got junk, you need it gone. Indeed, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And maybe today's the day you make that appointment to get that done. Maybe clear out some space in a garage, clear out a room, whatever. Get rid of the junk in the backyard. They can handle it. They also are looking for new folks to work with them. I got this note from my buddy Trey. He said 1-800-GOT-JUNK in Mobile is hiring. They're in search of full and part-time help. If you know an individual, 20 years old or older, who's not afraid to be dependable. I love that, Trey. I get it. In other words, y'all show up at work, sweat, get dirty, work independently, able to lift 50 pounds, has a valid license with a clean record, and enjoys a fast-paced customer service and culture-driven work environment. Please message or email trey.bennett. So here's his email address. And if you need it, I know you're riding down the road or whatever, you don't have time to write this down. I don't want you writing it down. You can always just send us a text and we'll get it to you. But it's Trey, T-R-E-Y dot Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. So Trey.Bennett at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com with the contact info in there. So if that applies, you're looking for a job, you know somebody looking for that job, 1-800-GOT-JUNK is hiring here in Mobile. So if you need it, just send us a text. We'll get you the email address there, or you can just look for them online. But best just directly to email Trey and get that info. All right. And by the way, if you're going to make an appointment for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you know how to do it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the telephone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. Unnamed texter says, your listeners need to come sit in district and circuit court and see how many stolen pistols and just pistols in general are taken off the street because of the change of no pistol permit arrest. It is a public safety issue. Happens every day. So that was one of, you know, the scenario where you have the felon in the vehicle who can't have the gun, but it's really theirs. They give it to the other person. Officers say, well, where's your pistol permit? They don't have it. And you get that pistol. But yeah, and I'd love this unnamed texter. If you can give me numbers, that'd be interesting too. Says it's a whole lot of pistols that come through there that are taken off the street. Love to see that by the numbers as well. Let's see. Okay, he said, this unnamed texter, it doesn't matter who decides the amount. Okay, here, now we're going to reset the conversation. Here we go. This is about the money, the 1.26. People are saying $3 million. I mean, I did the math just by the number of permits issued and how much they cost, and it's like $2.26 million, I think. I mean, not $1.26 million that they get from permits yearly. This texter says, it doesn't matter who decides the amount. The sheriff benefits from the funds, and that's why he supports it. A piece of paper or plastic doesn't make anyone more safer than they were before. Okay. Good afternoon, Sean. Law-abiding citizens with, this is from Don, with concealed permits, are they not, if nothing, more of a deterrent? Someone is less likely to carjack me or ask for my wallet if they can openly see my pistol on my side. Are we not technically kind of an extension of law enforcement without a badge? I don't know. The open carry thing, I've talked about this before. Support your right to do it, absolutely. Tactically, I think it's a bad decision. Person with a gun on their hips, first person who gets shot. So, I mean, just saying. All right, we'll be back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Well, you're there the whole time, and I appreciate that. And we'll grab your calls here in just a minute at 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, I want you all to say hello to my friend Larry at LCM, and he does this to me a whole bunch. I, like you, so many of us, are looking for a truck out there, and Larry said, I got your truck. Larry, what you got?
I got a 2019 F-150 crew cab, four-wheel drive. It's an XLT package, but it's got all the appearance package. It's got everything you can imagine, including the trailer backup for us older people that need all the help we can get. And it's sitting on a brand-new set of Michelin tires, just turned 20,000 miles. It's got the EcoBoost engine. And I promise you can put it on any Ford showroom, and you wouldn't know it from the new ones.
Yeah, you got my attention, and a lot of folks out there attention. If I come to you today, check that out. We might be talking financing. How am I looking at options out there for financing?
The finance is great. We got multiple lenders. We got a really great lender that goes across. I mean, usually new franchises are the only one that get them, and where they got great rates, they're real competitive. Plus, we got all the credit unions.
All right, tell us how to come see that truck and everything else going on at LCM.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road online at lcmotorcars.com, and we'll never have enough time to get it on the website before the pictures get taken. And call us at 375-0068, and please like us on Facebook.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Why do I feel like I'm, like, see, we do these in these vehicles that are just right in my wheel, like I'm shooting myself in the foot. But, so if you can beat me to it, then good luck. It sounds like a great truck. All right, let's see here. Oh, before I go further, thank you, Dalton. Remind me, because I need reminded on stuff like this, and it's, because it's very important, but I get, like, all into whatever the news of the day is. VoteNappies.com. So this is, I think Dalton just said, it's the last week of this. So y'all did great work nominating so many of our shows. Y'all, and that's what makes me super proud. Now, there are just a couple of us that talked on the radio 12 years ago when we launched this radio station. But over the years, you know, we've grown 7 days a week of live shows, local shows, so many shows and different hosts out there. And y'all did great with the nominating process, putting our shows into the mix on the Nappies, the awards Lanyap does. And so now you got to take us across the finish line. You nominated us in those categories. Need your help here in the waning week to get those legal votes. I think it's once per day. Legal votes over at VoteNappies.com. So VoteNappies.com. VoteNappies.com. You go over there, and if there's a whole bunch of categories and things to vote in. We're in the media category. You'll see the radio station, your favorite radio station, favorite shows or talk show hosts or sports shows, all that good stuff in there. So we sure appreciate your vote. VoteNappies.com last week here to help us go to that next level and get that Nappy Award. Also, thank you to my friend Jeff Poore, who said right now, because I asked this question earlier about the time for Representative Shane Stringer, 10:30 tomorrow, tentatively right now, 10:30 tomorrow. That will be Representative Stringer's side of the story of what we talked about with Sheriff Cochran in the first hour. So that's 10:30 tomorrow morning, tentatively. But Jeff will let us know before showtime, and we'll make sure to let you all know on our social media platforms. All right. And speaking of, you know, what Representative Stringer's doing today, Sunny Die Day in Montgomery. Got this just minutes ago. Governor Kay Ivey has signed that SB 46. That was the medical marijuana bill into law. A lot of us thought she would just let it she would just let it become law, but she signed it, and so she's putting her seal of approval on it. So that is now law, the medical marijuana bill. Questions about what they're working on up there? It is not gambling. It's not gambling, as I'm seeing there. It's not. You've got the transgender, showing us transgender law going on, but you don't have. I would be very surprised if some kind of miraculously some kind of bill that they could all agree on in gaming came up today and got finished. I think it's a non-starter. Now, the question is, does this come up in special session? And let me start this campaign early. I have no problem with the gambling bill coming up in special session. You know, my issues with the gambling bill have never been about gambling. I don't mind that. I want folks to have the right to refer. All we're asking for is to get to vote on gambling. But so I support that. My issue has been the letter of the bill as written, and I think it provides for duopolies and special compensation to this group and another group. That's my issue. It's not about the gambling. Y'all roll dice or do whatever you do, buy lotto. Not my thing, but you got the right to do it. But my issue has been the bill's bad because of carve-outs, not because of the essence of gaming. To me, can they get that worked out and do it in special session? I don't know, but I will have an issue, and I'm gonna go early here and put a flag and put this: if they deal with the gambling bill, if they move, as much as y'all like it and as much as all, hey, I like it too, the idea. Now, I don't like the bill as it stands, but if this happens before they deal with prison funding, I'm out, man. I am out. I know prison funding is not exciting. I don't like it, but you know, I've been on this for 7 or 8 years, and you could say, yeah, Sean, nothing's happened to us. We have the decisions made against us from Judge Myron Thompson on this. This is, if the feds come in, and remember the feds, when it was President Trump's DOJ, were saying, y'all got to get this fixed. That was President Trump's DOJ. Now with President Biden's DOJ. If they, it happened to Alabama in the 70s, it happened in California, I think, in the 90s. They come in and take over the prison system. The feds do. Then they say, y'all got to do this, that, and the other, build this facility, let these people out. Do all. They call the shots, and we have to pay for it. We're going to have to pay for it one way or another to deal with this prison issue in the state. I'd rather it be us in Alabama making the decisions and doing it our way at a level that keeps us from getting the hammer down from the feds on this than have them come in and take over and dictate how this works and let people out of prison who shouldn't be out. This is as real as it gets. And there's going to be a day, if we screw around here and don't do something about it, there's going to be a day down the road that it's going to happen. There's going to be a whole bunch of people going, whoa, it's me. The feds have come in, Sean, and they're telling me we got to do that. I told y'all. The issue, I don't mind if gaming comes up in a special session, but it ought to be second to a discussion. Now, we know special session's coming in August to discuss redistricting, and they can't have it any earlier because they're still waiting on information from the census. But in the meantime, if you say the prison situation, in other words, what we're going to do to fund the build or how we're going to avoid the federal receivership, how we're going to bond that out, I don't want that private, you know, the private company building the facility and then we pay them rent. I didn't think that was the best deal when we could bond it. But hey, legislature, the governor did that because y'all weren't doing anything about it. Y'all screwed around session after session and didn't get anything done. So in this case, I'm not crazy about the deal, and it went through. It fell down and went down in, you know, burning, twisting manner into the earth. But the governor had to do something because y'all didn't do anything. Now, you have a chance of getting something done in a special session to address prisons. Do that before you do gaming. Once again, you want to do gaming, that's fine. But that's like, it's like people, you know, planning their Disney vacation as a tree limb is through their roof pouring water inside. Forget about Disney for a second and get your damn roof fixed. I can't believe I have to have this conversation with Goat Hill. So, I mean, that's, yes. I mean, the gaming thing is going to get a lot of attention and all that. You have to do the work before you get to go have fun. I mean, did y'all not grow up like that? Like you want to go to the swim party over at Billy's, but you got to mow the lawn first, right? That's how it works. At least in all of our world, right? All right, coming right back. 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, there's never a bad time for R.L. Burnside, but Mondays, especially tasty. All right, 150, Midday Mobile. FMTalk1065.com. That's the website. Of course, the fantastic Facebook page, just FMTalk1065 on Facebook. Also, if you get a chance, if you're into the outdoors, we also have our FMTalk1065 Outdoors on Facebook, where we put up the podcast of the weekend show that Mike Ward and I do, FMTalk1065 Outdoors, and also outdoors stories, more of that side of it. Those appear on our Facebook page for the outdoor show. Make sure you like that if you're into it. And of course, you can check us out on Twitter at FMTalk1065 and Instagram. And double reminder, look, I'm doing it twice, Dalton, votenappies.com. So I've done it for two breaks in a row. Votenappies.com, last week of voting. We sure appreciate y'all's votes. Text here, and then a story about how your kids are going to pay off for you. Finally, right? Finally. All right. This unnamed texter, just talking about concealing or carrying firearms. Just don't tuck it in your waistband like in the movies. My mom was an ER nurse in the 80s and had more than one instance of someone blowing their twig and berries off. So be careful on where you conceal carry. You know, I know of a person, one person removed from me, but I talk about this a lot of times. And yeah, I heard Dalton reference it the other day, that so many times people will talk about the fatalities in gun violence, but they won't talk about the injuries very much. And people just kind of move past it. And you got people that are invalids for the rest of their life, people who can't function 100% because of being shot. You know, people go, well, it wasn't a fatality. people have horrible injuries to suffer through. And this was a person that had it in the waistband, and it shot and it blew through their femur. And they had to go, in the years I've known the story of this person, like I said, one person removed, they had to get like cadaver bones and all these things and trying to get it to take, and it kept projecting, like surgery after surgery. Person couldn't, and they were young when it happened. But it went off and shot down through the thigh, through the femur, bursting it and doing the, like, that's a whole world of stuff that doesn't get discussed when we talk about, well, there weren't fatalities. And there's some people that get shot and they get stitches and they got a cool thing to show. Look at my stitches from where I was shot. And there's some people that their whole life is absolutely destroyed, even though they survived. Right. Texter said, anyone who complains about a $20 fee is just a chronic complainer. There are fees for everything we do. And if you take the cost of buying a gun and ammunition, it's just nothing. The food, the cost of a fast food meal, I would discount all those people. I guess these chronic complainers would like driver's license to be free, credit card fees to be free. I'm from Baldwin County, but it sounds like your sheriff is doing a real good job to me. I don't think there should be a lifetime permit because good people turn bad occasionally. Texter said, I, for one, appreciate a politician who listens to their constituency and changes their views or votes to represent them. That's an interesting one. We've talked about that before. But what about the people that voted for the, like I semi-agree with you, unnamed texter, but at the same time, if they run on something, right, and they get elected on something, but then a group of people gets them to change their mind while they're in office, aren't there constituents that maybe aren't having their position represented? It's a tough one. Aiden seems to be from the same world that I live in. He said, RPG on a beaver dam. Aiden, if you set that up, if you can get permitted, we do it legally, to fire an RPG into a beaver dam, I get to watch awesome hardware, military hardware used, and I get to see beaver dams blown up. And both of those things I'm a fan of. Claymore mines. Okay, now we're talking. John said, Kay Ivey saved her governorship with the signing of the medical marijuana bill. Really? No, what? I may agree with her. I've been a supporter of the medical marijuana bill since it came up 3 years ago, and I was glad to see it pass. But so I can agree with you that I like the medical marijuana bill passed, but that Kay Ivey pulled some great political move there that's going to save her governorship. I'm not saying she wouldn't be reelected, but it's not because of the medical marijuana bill. So David said we need to quit paying them for special sessions, and then they would get their backsides in gear and get something done. Yeah, but I don't know, David, you're right, but I don't know that, like, they think, like, let's hold this over for special sessions so we get that money. You know, I don't think that's the plan. I can check. I can ask when, you know, we're going to, this next week, the rest of this week, I'll probably have lots of legislators on to talk about this session and in the rearview mirror and ask them about special. And then I'll say, okay, well, y'all going to do special sessions so you can pay for vacation or something like that. All right. Scotty says, that's not how it works, Sean. We're going to Disney. Just look at the Civic Center lad, the Hank. Then we will be surprised when no one is coming to visit our sad, leaky, soggy house. Yeah, well, Scotty, I'm not saying the way government works. I'm just saying the way it should work. There should be a triage list, right? This is, maybe I run afoul of people, but there's specific jobs that government is supposed to do. They need to do those and get those done. And then once all those things are done and they pass the general fund budget today, gosh, I mean, the last day, get that kind of stuff done and then tackle these other bills, right? The prison situation, while it's not as fun as talking about gaming and there's not as many people going to make money on it, it's more important for our state. So you'd say, well, guys, I want to talk about gaming and all that, but we got to do work now. Now, this is going to be, not that the other stuff's not work, but we got to do the unfun work right now. I mean, it's stuff that I should have to tell grown-ups about doing this, right? You think they should get this. All right, and before we run out of time, this story, you'll probably hear more about this in the coming days. So Treasury Department says today that 39 million families are set to receive monthly child payments beginning on July 15th. Payments are part of President Biden's, and by the way, you see President Biden do the same thing as Trump did. You get the letter for from the office of the White House. You open it quickly, think it's going to be some exciting thing for the White House, and it's them telling you that they were the great benefactor to getting your stimulus money. You see that? I mean, and hey, y'all, you call things fair. Former President Trump did the same thing. Like, here's your money. Look what I did for you. It's taxpayer money. Y'all just directed. Y'all didn't slap leather and come up with it. All right. Treasury Department said Monday 39 million families are set to receive monthly child payments beginning on July 15th. The payments are part of President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package, which expanded the child tax credit for 1 year and made it possible to prepay the benefits on a monthly basis. Nearly 88% of children are set to receive the benefits without their parents needing to take any additional action. They're just sending it, y'all. Send it. Qualified families will receive a payment of up to $300 per month for each child under six. Dalton, let me say cha-ching, dog. And up to $250 per month for children between ages 6 and 17. The child tax credit was previously capped at $2,000, and it only paid out to families with income tax obligations after they filed with the IRS. But for this year, woo, right? It's just money, right? Just raining down. This year, couples earning $150,000 or less can receive the full payments on the 15th of each month, in most cases by direct deposit. The benefits total $3,600 annually for children under six and $3,000 for those who are older. IRS will determine eligibility based on the 2019 and 2020 tax years, but people will be able to update their status through an online portal. Love those. Administration is also setting up another portal for non-filers who might be eligible for the child tax credit. President Biden has proposed an extension of the increased child tax credit through 2025 as part of his $1.8 trillion families plan. So there you go. Expanded credits could cost roughly about $100 billion a year to taxpayers. So there you go. It's just money. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a great one.